Can you introduce yourself to listeners? My name is Evelyn Encolada. I'm from Justice for Migrant Workers. What do you think about the recent changes in immigration system created by Minister Kenney that requires specifically people from Mexico and Roma Czech to apply for a visa before being able to apply as refugees?
I think it sets a very dangerous precedent in the Canadian immigration system. The minister was completely out of line when he basically was saying that all refugees from these two countries are bogus refugees. It's about Canada, you know, taking responsibility for the creation of refugees and the displacement of peoples in the world, starting with Mexico. And why am I focusing on Mexico? It's because I work mostly with Mexican workers and because we have direct ties to Mexico, economic ties. You know, we have NAFTA that is basically resulting in the displacement of a lot of rural peoples. And I also think in Mexico there are a lot of political problems, social problems, and Canada cannot admit to being a major economic partner. And if Canada admits that there are serious problems in Mexico, that would mean that Canada wouldn't be justified in closing the door on Mexico. And we also know that in the Czech Republic, the Roma peoples have been persecuted there for being Roma. So Canada is not living up to its responsibility of being a refuge for the people that are the most vulnerable in the world, starting with our neighbors, the neighbors that are further down to the south, Mexico. And also the conception of refugee, like the definition of refugee, should also be changed. We now have economic refugees more and more than ever before, and environmental refugees that have all become refugees because of an economic system that has perpetuated, you know, environmental destruction, displacement, loss of livelihood. So, you know, a refugee really encompasses all of these actors that have made them into refugees. And then now a lot of people in Mexico are also fleeing from a narco trafficking, and that's a problem also that could be traced to structural issues of poverty, of an economic system that has not responded to the immediate needs of the population, a system that, you know, has completely failed the Mexican people. So I think if we defined refugee in a different way, in a more realistic way, about 90% of people in Mexico would be refugees. And obviously, you know, every country has a right to protect itself, well, to, you know, assert its borders and all of that. I would wish, as an advocate, you know, around immigration issues, that we had a world where there are no borders. But the way that the world is right now, because it's so unequal and there are so many injustices, you know, these borders are functioning to contain social dissent in some way. And so what the minister has done is completely outrageous and a disrespect to the Mexican peoples and to the Czech people as well.
Can you correlate the marginalization of migrant workers in Canada and in other Western dominant cultures, for that matter, with healthcare?
Clearly with the LCP program. With the seasonal cultural workers program, it functions as a form of subsidy for the agricultural industry. And then the LCP program functions as a form of subsidy for healthcare, where basically a group of people are burdened with Canada's, you know, irresponsibility of providing for its citizens, providing equally for everybody in terms of healthcare.
For those who don't know, LCP is the acronym for the Living Caregiver Program. And how can we learn more about the work and work like this that the advocates for migrant workers are doing?
Well, we have a website. You can go to justice4migrantworkers.org, or if you just Google it, Google our name, Justice for Migrant Workers, and our website will appear. And we're all about organizing workers so they can have their own spaces to decide how they want to advocate for their rights. We don't want to impose, you know, particular models on them. And then we also want to link with organizations in dissenting countries, so that way we're looking at this migration issue locally and regionally, and also, you know, transnationally, to link to what's going on in the region. And we also want, you know, Canada to live up to its reputation as a humanitarian country. It hasn't been doing that at all. Like, there's many things that occur every day that most Canadians would not be able to comprehend or think that don't occur here whatsoever. And then we see this primarily with the First Nations peoples, you know, and so, you know, these injustices are not anything new to Canada, but they function in a way where they're so buried within, you know, our reality. And then when we go to the grocery store, you know, there's all these signs that we should buy local, we should buy, you know, Ontario grown produce, but people don't have a clue all the stories that go behind, and the lice are involved in the tomatoes and the apples that we buy that are supposed to be good for us.
From your work with and experience and knowledge of migrant workers, what do you feel are some main social determinants of the poor health of migrant workers?
Well, it's their marginalization. A lot of workers, you know, I don't want to bring any attention to themselves. And then many times they will work while they're injured, while they're sick, thinking that they're going to lose their jobs. So even though on paper workers have a certain rights, in reality those rights are not enforced. Many times employers will be very upset at the fact that they have to take some of their time to transport workers to the hospital, to a doctor. So, you know, even though that's the responsibility of employers, but also too, that's a problem. If your employer is going to take you to the hospital or to the doctor, then they will know everything that's going on with you in your body. And there's been situations here in Niagara where there have been women who have been taken to the doctor for checkups, and their employers have found out that they are pregnant, and they've been sent home on the next plane back. So there's all these issues around privacy.
And dehumanizing.
Yes, it's very dehumanizing, and a lot of times workers will complain that they don't have the right translation, interpretation, in these medical, with this medical attention, and also many times they're dismissed by doctors themselves, and sometimes doctors don't even know that they're even covered under OHIP. There's lots of lack of information in all respects, in all grounds.
What workshop were you helping facilitate, and what kind of response did you receive from the migrant workers with this workshop?
Well, it was a very interesting workshop. It was the first time that I've done this workshop here in Canada. We did it in Puebla. It's around sexual harassment. We did it once with maquila workers in Puebla, and so, you know, I try to adapt it to the situation here in Canada within the program. And what we see with the program, the way that the system is set up, the way that it's structured, it creates a divide and conquer type of system. Not only affects, you know, Jamaican workers versus Mexican workers, but workers within themselves, within nationalities, within their particular racial group. So the Mexicans, for instance, in order for them to be named to return to a particular farm, they try to outcompete themselves in their jobs. You know, so they try to be the fastest one, the best one, but then that raises a standard for all the work production. Everybody then will have to work at that speed. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about issues like that, about, you know, what a respectful workplace looks like, that there's a lot that is dependent upon structures and the employer and then the Mexican consulate, Canadian government, but there's also things that could be done among workers themselves to counter those divisive practices. It's about understanding how these divisive practices also work, you know, to take a moment and understand the larger picture of why these relations shape themselves in the way that they do. And then one of the main things that we were also talking about is sexual harassment, which was really hard to talk with among men and women, because we wanted them to be part of that conversation. And sexual harassment has different impacts when the harasser is in a position of power that can determine if you work in Canada or not. And there's been many situations where women have been sent back to Mexico, or, you know, in Thai women were also faced with this in the Livingston region, where if they weren't sleeping with their boss, like, they were being told that they were going to be sent back, that they were going to lose their jobs. So, you know, we were talking about those issues, but also talking about horizontal oppression. We have to think about different ways of relating to one another at work, and how workers could, you know, relate to one another when they have all of these structural obstacles. And so it was about creating different types of gender relations.